Welcome, Photon Warriors. Commence strategic maneuvers at audible command signal. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, begin.
Jackalope Radio presents Movies Hate You. Movies Hate You, with your host, Rob Housechild.
And Todd, do you have it in you to do the theme song for the Movies Hate You Show?
This is the Movies Hate You Show, yeah.
Damn. Tell you, this guy comes out of the hospital and he sounds better than when he went in. Welcome back, Todd Sheets. Welcome back, movie lovers and movie haters. This is the Movies Hate You Show. And we may or may not be sponsored by bmovie.com. We'll get back to you on that. With us tonight, again, back from hiatus from our spring break and feeling very refreshed and potent, recovered on a low cholesterol diet, is the Movies Hate You crew. First off, our producer, Todd Sheets. Yes, Todd Sheets, Yay. The man they tried to kill but could not kill. Todd Sheets, couldn't you bring son of down. A bitch, you made it.
That's right.
And we're all better off for it.
Can't keep
and
down.
What Movies Hate You episode would be complete without Mystery, our Asian invasion? Lee Peterson, welcome back. Who, you have not been in the hospital, but you should have been.
Aloha. No, I have a bit of a scratchy throat. That's all I can contribute to the illness.
Yeah, Todd's like, I don't want to hear that shit. Scratchy throat.
Wah, wah, wah.
Todd eats scratchy throats for breakfast on bridges in Florida.
I throw them away.
Gee. Hey, listen. So it's been a while. We've been on a forced hiatus because I refuse to make Todd Sheets work harder than he should be. And a voluntary hiatus. Mr. Ree and I decided, you know what? Get your house in order, Mr. Todd. We are not going to sit here and bug you to record this stupid show every week while you're trying to recover from heart surgery. What kind of men would we be if we did that?
You would not be men. You would be Devo.
There are some things more important than radio and movies. I know people listening, maybe even some other hosts, don't get that. But yeah, there are more important things. God, imagine that. Imagine that. A human life more important than your stupid show where you talk about Cannibal Holocaust for an hour and you think you're doing something original.
Okay.
Yeah. I know, you have to play Switzerland in cases like that, Todd. I understand.
It's tough.
But no, seriously, I jest with the other hosts, try to bait them out of their caves to battle with me. Go mano a mano in a movie trivia contest for $1 million. That's right. Any other host on this station, since we are the first movie show on this station, any host who wants to go up against Mr. Ree in a movie trivia contest, and I mean movie trivia, not, you know, the films of Jeff Lieberman contest or the five horror movies you rewatch every day. I'm talking movies. I'm talking the spectrum. I'm talking from the beginning to today. I'm talking, yeah, Bollywood films are in there too. Yeah, a real movie trivia contest. Let's see what you really know. Let's see where you studied. $1 million on the line. Go up against Mr. Ree. You win, you will get $1 million.
Do we really have to do the Bollywood thing? Because I'm a little burned out on that stuff. It's all we in our local AMC cinemas. All the only kind of foreign movies we get are Bollywood. Now that might change because AMC just got bought by the Chinese. So I'm hoping to get some martial arts movies again.
And look at you! It's so funny that you brought that up because that was going to be one of my topics tonight. Briefly, was that you read this right? AMC bought out by this huge Chinese conglomerate. And AMC, based in Kansas City, by the way, right, Mr. Todd?
Yep.
Bought by these totalitarian maniacs. Now, we reported here on Movies Hate You about a month or so ago, maybe 2 months ago, Mr. Ree, if you remember, since you represent all Chinese on this show.
I try to.
Do you remember? You remember when I said, you know, Hollywood was sending some people over to China, and they're trying to do this whole thing. China wants to finance some movies, you know. Maybe show Chinese government, Chinese people, in a kind of a little, you know, a better light than we might think of them as the fascist rulers and killers. Maniacs that they are. Now, China comes in. The largest movie chain in China buys one of our largest movie chains, AMC. What do you think that means, Mr. Ree?
That's an excellent question. I guess we'll be seeing Rush Hour 4 pretty soon. I don't know.
This is what they call a soft power move. You know, it's similar to a propaganda campaign in a way.
I'm excited about it.
If the Chinese can come in and create a cultural influence on us.
Whatever. Maybe we need one of those. Have you seen Rob Schneider movies? We need a cultural influence.
Come on, man. Listen, there hasn't been a Rob Schneider movie in years. I mean,
there was one just the other day. It was horrible.
Yeah, what, on cable or something? I'm talking like in a theater. There was nothing.
All right, let's say it this way. Rob Schneider movies because they're piggybacked on Adam Sandler. Adam Sandler, for some reason, can't make a movie without this schmo stuck in the middle of it.
Well, Adam Sandler, that's one franchise I'll never understand is how that guy gets warm butts in the seats. I really don't understand him. But, you know, it's not for me. It wasn't made for me.
I just saw a poster. For a new Adam Sandler movie in the subway today. Andy Samberg together again at last.
it's as if Adam Sandler and Eddie Murphy have a bet going. Who can stoop to the lowest cinematic slop of a sludge slug form? Like who can devolve more as a movie star? Like who can get to the bottom faster? I bet you it's a $20 million bet him and Eddie Murphy have. Who can do the worst film? I mean, it's not hard to do a bad film, but then there's the stuff that transcends bad, that gets into the hate territory that we deal with on this show. I mean, literally hate. Adam Sandler despises you. If you've ever laughed at his movies, he's laughing at you in line at the bank. Despises you.
I think you might be right.
Yeah. Eddie Murphy despises you. Eddie Murphy thinks you're crap on the bottom of his $1,000 shoes. He really thinks you're garbage. And when you go in, he laughs. And they keep giving him roles. And they keep giving him money. And he laughs. And he laughs. Him and Adam Sandler drink and get tranny hookers and shoot drugs. And they laugh at you. And they burn money while they laugh at you. Seriously. They hate you. They hate your guts. They think you're garbage.
Garbage.
Think about that next time you rent something by either one of those people.
Those peeps.
I'd have to give the nod to Eddie Murphy, though, because you know, when he was 19, at least he had talent. And you know, he has a small body of work that's pretty good. And Adam Sandler doesn't.
Well, I mean, yeah, well, Sandler might have had a few moments when he was that young as well. But, you know, Eddie Murphy wasn't a one-joke, you know, Adam Sandler's a one-joke comedian. Oy, oy vey, oh, you know, I got problems. You know the shtick, you know, the Seinfelds, blah, blah, blah. It's all the same thing. He's got the shtick. Fine. Still, he's doing drag. You know what I mean? It's just like it's gone to the bottom. It's gone to the bottom.
Yeah, it's gone pretty low.
You could not pay me enough to go into a theater to see an Adam Sandler movie. You just really couldn't.
Well, you might not have to, because when the Chinese take over the movie industry, which they will, and they guess what? You know, you say, Todd, yeah, the Chinese, right. They have their Adam Sandlers. They have their Stephen Chows, man.
I like Stephen Chow.
I don't want to put him on a pedestal. So, well, all that money goes back.
I will.
Well, that's fine. I'm not trying to take anything away from the guy, but I'm saying the worship is scary territory, considering that this, you know, Dolly and Wanda group or whoever they are who bought AMC, it's a scary thing. It's a culturally scary thing. Look, do I think the Chinese are going to roll in with tanks? No. I'm not. This is not the Alex Jones show. I don't think the world's going to end. But you have to understand culturally what's happening and how that's going to affect movies and how that's going to affect how we go to see movies, where we go to see them, how much they cost, et cetera, et cetera. And there is a bigger picture. You know, from day one, Hollywood's been a propaganda machine for whatever cause or military or government or party or, you know, social issue, whatever. So it doesn't matter, but we're going to get a little more Chinese agenda mixed in with our soup in the future. And I'm fine with that. I hope they make some good karate movies. That's all I got to say, man.
Me too.
I want the old school stuff brought back, man. I want the Crippled Masters to come back. Bring back the Crippled Masters. I'll be the first in line at any Chinese theater.
That's all I want, man. I want good shit.
Damn it. Why is this show getting political?
You tell me. You're the one who did it.
The hell with you.
Mr. Ree and I are sitting over here going, huh?
The hell with both of you. We're in trouble.
We don't even know what you're talking about anymore.
Help
we
out.
It.
Cannibals in the Streets. Remember that movie Cannibals in the Streets with John Saxon? Do you guys remember Cannibals in the Streets? Cannibal Apocalypse?
Of course we do.
John Saxon. That's happening today, man. Where's John Saxon to help us? We need him in Florida.
Yeah. Yeah, let's talk about that. Let's talk about the zombie. The new zombie apocalypse is upon us, right?
Of course it is, man. There's at least 5 or 6 news stories floating around. There's a cannibal on the run in England. There's a guy just in Baltimore, it just came out, he killed his friend, ate his heart and his brain. There's this guy on the bridge in Florida, the homeless LSD bath salts guy.
Yeah.
Wasn't there a mixed martial arts fighter who ripped out the heart of his friend or something? What, his trainer or something? What the hell's going on? Is this mic on? What is going on?
We don't understand. We don't get it.
You own a gun, Todd?
To a zombie film.
You own a gun, Todd?
No, I own some samurai swords, however.
Now, wait a minute. Maybe Todd's a zombie. He near death. They let him out of the hospital. He's back to normal in days, like nothing happened. Man is a zombie.
Yeah. Now, this guy in Miami, as the stories keep coming out, I mean, the original story was pretty clear cut that, like you said, the bath salts, this new designer LSD or something that people are taking. But it's basically all the information they had from the beginning has turned out to not be true.
Yeah.
At least from what I've been reading. So, I mean, there's no toxicology report yet. They don't know what was in his system. So that's just speculation. The guys didn't know each other, so they weren't doing drugs together. The guy that he was eating, he apparently stripped. They were apparently both naked, but apparently the guy, the cannibal guy, had a real life. He had a girlfriend. He had a car. You know, he had all the stuff, and he got in a fight with his girlfriend, and then he left, and he drove to the bridge, and then he started walking, apparently. And during that time, he tore off all his clothes and then started eating this guy. So what, you know, what the hell happened? None of it seems to make any sense.
Well, doesn't that happen?
Shoot him in the head? I hope they shot him in the head.
I hope they did. I hope Rick Grimes was on the bridge there with him, you know? Jeez.
I mean, what?
Taking off your clothes could be a reaction to drugs. I mean, certain drugs, your body temperature gets so hot, you feel
right.
Like your skin is boiling, you would take off your clothes. Matt, did you see the pictures of this guy? I mean, not the cannibal, but the victim? Somebody published those pictures, and it's like faces of death, man. I mean, he really did rip his face off. He bit his face off. His face is gone. And they meant it. And they said 75% of his face had been bitten off. 75% of his face is bitten off. Eaten. The guy ate his face. Yeah. Now, I don't know nothing about bath salts, except I think they're legal in Canada. But that's the same drug I'm thinking of.
I think they were legal here until recently.
Yeah, I think they're still legal in Canada, if that's what I read correct.
Calgon, take me away.
And meanwhile, the stock of Bed Bath & Beyond and, Bath & Body Works has gone down since this whole incident, because it's such a misnamed drug. But it's not, is it really an LSD? I mean, what did he think? Okay, let's say it was. What did he think he was eating? You know? What did he...
Well, that's the thing. They don't even know yet if... I mean, it was pure speculation on the police part because of... I think it was because he was naked, because both of them were naked. And he apparently, this kind of LSD makes you, like you were saying, so hot. You're so hot on the inside that you can't escape it, so you rip off your clothes. And so they were speculating that both of these guys were doing it because they were both naked. However, the guy eating him apparently tore off the other guy's clothes when he was sleeping. So, and the guy woke up apparently while he was getting eaten. Now what I want to know is it like, you remember the Bugs Bunny cartoon where they're stranded on the
the guy's so hungry,
and they look at each other and they see a big hot dog or a drumstick. Is that what the guy was looking at this guy thinking?
Well, I was walking on the bridge and I saw a hot dog walking toward me. I had to eat it. Yes, that's it. Would you like a little mustard on that face? Oh, God. It's a terrible thing, though. It really
is. Does it come with a biscuit? Does it come with a biscuit? I don't know.
God.
And the guy who was eaten, apparently, I mean, obviously every person who was homeless has a backstory. But this guy apparently was like a really bright student and graduated. He actually went to school in the same building that my son goes to school in. He went to a school that's no longer there, but it's still the same building, and now it's a different school.
It's something at that school.
They showed his yearbook photo and people. I guess he was in the same class as Dick Morris. Former presidential advisor.
Listen, I don't know. What does any of this mean, Mr. Ree? Are you getting into the minutiae of this case? This ain't a news program.
It's interesting because it doesn't seem to fit it doesn't conform to what they originally thought. It was just a wild two guys doing drugs and they flipped out. It seems to be that it's even stranger than that. So,
well, this is the thing. I don't think they know. The man is dead. You'll never know unless, you know, there's an eyewitness of some sort. He came from somewhere, or something. You know, they're still getting the...
There's a surveillance video, apparently.
Oh,
of it, but that doesn't say what happened.
No, it doesn't say why. It doesn't give the why. You know, it doesn't give the why. It doesn't give the how do they know each other. But... From I've watched enough zombie. This sounds like the plot of a Todd Sheets movie, if you ask me.
Yeah, could be.
Bloodthirsty Cannibal Demons. Well, shit, if that wasn't the perfect name for what happened on that bridge.
Probably true.
And I'm sure the religious folk listening would say that a demon got into that boy.
A demon done got into that boy.
That's right. Speaking of which, did you hear about the snake handler? The pastor,
Who died. Who died, just like his daddy.
How did he die?
Bitten by a snake.
What are the odds?
Well, let me tell you something. You're a snake, yeah. Well, the best part of that story is he gets bit by the snake, and what happens? They drive him 80 miles home so he can relax at home and kind of recover from the bite. And then when things get really bad, they like, well, maybe we should take him to the hospital. So they take him to the hospital where he dies. So, you know, if you've learned anything from this, the snake handling West Virginian preacher who died at the hand of his own Christ snake, go to the hospital if you get bit by a rattlesnake. Don't go home and lay down for a couple hours. You know, just, yeah, you might live to preach another day, but that's just my opinion. But here's the thing, Mr. Ree and Mr. Yes. Sheets, that's very interesting about, and I just say interesting twice. The interesting thing that's interesting about this whole phenomenon of snake handling is that religious folk are clever. See, now what they say is, if I get bit, it's God's will. If I live, it's God's will. If I die, then it was my time to go, because that's what God wanted. So there really is no wrong answer if you're a religious person.
Yep.
You see what I mean? It's like, you've got the car. It's kind of like you're trying to fight Wall Street. You know, it's like, well, they've got the whole system pretty much planned out so that you're not going to get in. And if you do, you're never going to be at the top. I mean, it's all preordained. So it's like the firewalls are there to stop reason or clear thinking or just reality. And that's fine if you want to live in that. Well, it's a good thing that snake didn't bite a little kid or something, an innocent who didn't know what they were getting into being near that snake, because then it would have been a whole other issue. But if you want to handle snakes and get bit and not get treated, you're welcome to. It's free country. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. You know, there's plenty of people. I mean, look at this crocodile hunter guy. You know, he wanted to go swim with these animals and mess with them, and they got him. So, you know, that's what he wanted. You know?
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm totally with you. But the truth of the matter is they are involving kids.
They are, but they're not putting the snakes in the kid's face or anything, as far as I know.
I don't know. It would surprise me more if they didn't do that than if they did.
I'm sure that this guy who just got killed, because his father died the same way, incidentally. Yeah, I'm sure his daddy was training him when he was very young to handle these snakes and speak in tongues and all the other bilking methods that they come up with of these things. You know, one of the best documentaries ever made? It's a movie called Marjo. Have either one of you ever seen that movie?
No.
Yes.
Oscar-winning film.
I don't know about that one, man.
1971, I believe. Marjo. It's about the life of Marjo Gortner, who you might know as he was a B-movie star.
Yeah, I like him.
I like Marjo Gortner a lot, and that before I even knew the whole deal. I mean, he's done stuff like Acapulco Gold, Food of the Gods. I mean, the list goes on with this guy. He's kind of a Zalman King kind of looking dude, isn't he? Anyway, great documentary on what is the business of child preachers. And he walks you through the whole grift, man. It's a real cool movie. 1970, that's on DVD. You can get that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. That was a hard one to find for years, man. That tape used to go for a lot of money on eBay.
Now, does he admit in the movie, it's been so long since I've seen it, he doesn't admit that it's all sham, right?
And, oh, absolutely he does. He shows you the grift. He shows you everything. He shows you how to do from soup to nuts.
What exactly is soup to nuts?
He was forced. That's in your cupboard right now. He was forced from a very young age to be a child prodigy.
Yeah.
A Christian preacher. I'm talking like 3 years old. And when he hit his like young adulthood, he was, screw this. He turned the tables on the whole industry and his family and everything by doing this documentary, exposing the whole thing. These tent revivals that were very popular, and still are, I'm sure, in some parts of the country. Not over here in the Badlands of New York City, but we've got it over here too. You know, you flyover state peeps, Kansas City boys, you think that we're immune here on the coasts. But we have the religious nuts and the religious not-so-nuts, and we've got the crazy billboards and the anti-abortion billboards and the literature at the post office. You go in there, you get those chick tracks and on benches. They got people in the, you know, they got people in the subways trying to give you stress tests for Scientology, trying to give you a little Eucharist for Christ, trying to give you a little hand job for Reverend Moon. You know, anything you want, you can get in New York City. So don't think that we're all, you know, this is just the black hole of spirituality here on the East Coast. Because you come here and you could learn A to Z about every religion in one day just walking down the street here. And that's the beauty of New York City.
True.
Because in you know, I was raised as a ancient Greek, and everybody knows there's more than one God, and they fight and they laugh at us, and you know, they're all together, man. Who says it just has to be Jesus? Mr. Ree doesn't believe in Jesus.
I don't.
He believes in Jesus.
Jesus, my gardener. Yeah, I believe in my gardener.
That's what's missing on this channel, Jackalope Radio, a religious program.
I didn't do it.
Why don't we have a preacher on?
We don't want to.
Why?
Everybody else does that. Let's be different.
Get some damn donations.
That we could use.
Speaking of which, may I please, Mr. Sheets, talk about what happened to you?
Sure.
I feel like I'm ignoring the 400-pound gorilla in the room by not talking about the ordeal you went through and the hiatus of Jackalope and everybody coming together for you and what's been going on. And I want an update of how you're feeling and what we can expect from you. And I just want to turn the mic on you for a couple minutes here and say that I am ecstatic that you are here with us right now. Seriously.
Thank you for that.
Screw the show. Screw the show. Screw the station. You are alive. Don't ever do anything ever again, but stay alive. You know what I mean? No more films. No more Jackalope. You're alive, man. That's what I'm ecstatic about. This can go away. Cancel my show right now if it means you live. You see what I'm saying? It's not about this. Oh, yeah, we got Todd back, the producer. No, I'm telling you, Todd the man, in the bottom of my heart, happy beyond a thousand gods and beliefs that you are alive. Because that is a reality I can believe in.
I appreciate that, man. It was a very difficult and bizarre ordeal.
Did you, and it just came on. There was no warning signs. You're not in a danger zone.
Not that I knew of, no. And when they did this,
you know, I honestly thought that Pete would be the first one to go. You know what I mean? When this whole thing happened, I said, well, Pete, man, this is a man who did every drug, every cigarette, every bottle of booze, every dirty whore, had a gun in his face, had a gun at his back, had a knife in his belly. Son of a bitch, still breathing.
Pete's the man.
Buying dogs. He's going crazy.
I love it.
He's building an army up there, man.
I love it.
He's building an animal army.
I hope so.
No, we don't want anything to happen to Pete either, of course.
Nope, he's the
man. But I'm just saying that you're a clean living dude, man. you're a clean living dude. I mean, I
try to be.
Yeah, I mean, maybe too many, you know, deep fried Oreos, you know, at the carnival.
Nope,
I know what
don't
you guys
have any of that either. No,
I know you don't do that stuff. I know what you guys like out there, man.
I used to love it, but I can't do it because I was diagnosed through hereditary means with diabetes, and you know they did a test with me, went back 4 months with my blood. It showed that I didn't have any problem with my cholesterol or my blood sugar. I've been maintaining everything perfectly. I was completely healthy, and as a matter of fact, everyone keeps apologizing to me, saying, "We're really sorry you had this heart attack. We don't even know why it happened." As a matter of fact, I had to sign paperwork, and they interviewed me, and they used the footage of my heart surgery and stuff for interns because they're trying to learn with the residents there what the hell happened to me, the resident heart doctors there at the hospital, because it's so unorthodox. They're hoping by studying me, they may be able to help people in the future.
Mm.
Very strange.
I kind of like that, though, man. You are an example for others. Others can learn from you. Maybe other people can be helped. Maybe they can find some kind of – they're going to find some trigger, something that was in you that they don't normally look for, that they can look for in other people and maybe save them.
That's the hope, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, proof that – I'm sorry, Mr. Reed. Proof that
no, it's fine.
We are fragile little petri dishes, you know? We are so – anything can happen at any time, any moment, no matter how good you live. I don't care if you're a vegetarian, a vegan, microbiotic, no smoking, no drink. It does – it's so many factors. There are thousands and thousands of factors involved in all of this.
It's true.
You know, you can try to live on that path, but it just, you know, I've seen it happen. I've seen young guys go down, man, and there's nothing there. There's no warning signs. And I'm a hypochondriac. I go and get tested. I get stress tests. I got a lung test. And I still don't believe it. I'm like, well, the doctors are full of crap. They don't know what they're talking about.
So thankful for mine. Quadruple bypass surgery saved my life, even though there were complications just because of the tightness of the area, because of the things they had to do to ensure that I lived. They clipped my lymph gland, and that caused me to have a second operation. It's supposed to be 20, 30 minutes, laparoscopic. Ended up being 2.5 hours, and I think I damn near died that second time. I was losing a lot of blood, and I was under the influence of the anesthetic for so long. I think I damn near died, but I'm still here.
What does it feel like, Todd? I mean, how did you know you were having a heart attack, or did you not?
I had no idea. I was watching that movie, The Raid, the martial arts flick, the Thai flick. I was watching that, loving every minute of it, and I'd eaten some Mexican food just about an hour before that, and so I had this incredible pain in my chest, and I thought it was kind of a gas pocket. I mean, I'm Italian, you know, we eat all this crazy stuff, and we get these gas pockets. So I thought it was this gas pocket up underneath there that was really severe, and I was just really having a hard time. So I started trying to breathe real deep, and it kind of slowly went away. It was hurting all the way down my arms. Well, I found out the arms thing should have been the dead giveaway, but I had a heart attack. I didn't realize that's what was happening. I just hurt really bad. I left, came to the studio, recorded, did Pete live, recorded a song for my band. I did all the guitar parts and everything. And then went home. Sunday, I came up and did a show. Everything was fine. Then Sunday night, I was just feeling kind of blah. I wasn't feeling right. I was having some weird feelings. So I went up to talk to the triage nurse. I live right by this hospital. I thought, maybe my blood sugar's weird. I said, man, let me check with her. I went in there. She basically freaked out when I talked about my chest. Pulled me into the back, stuck me on an EKG, came back and said, "All right, you've had a heart attack." I said, "What are you talking about? Are you sure you're looking at the right paper? Oh, you may still be in the heart attack for all we know. It's not normal still. You're at super high risk. Matter of fact, it could still be going on." I said, "I'll be back in an hour and a half."
Mm.
She goes, "What?" I said, "I have to go home. I got to feed my mice. I got to call and get my assistant to get the station taken over because the station will be off the air." She goes, "You're not leaving." And I fought and fought and I left. And I said, "I'll be back." They made me sign all this paperwork. I went home. Did what I needed to do, fed my animals, set up some food, and sure enough, got the hell out of there and went back to the hospital like I promised. And they admitted me. I was thinking, after all the tests they did, the cardio guys came down and said, it's either a blockage or maybe you had a blood clot that went through and just couldn't get through right. and caused a heart attack, then went on through. Things, you know, it just doesn't make sense because they were seeing that the rest of me was okay. Well, they got up in there with that scope. You know, they took that catheter scope up into me, and I was about half out of it. They want you to be semi-conscious so you can talk to them. They get in there, and I hear them go, "All right, pull it out. There's nothing we can do." I went, "Hold on, ho, what? Excuse me?" I thought they were going to put one stent in, and I was going home. They said, "No, actually, you've got 15 blockages. You've got to go downtown and get full surgery." The guys were cool as hell. I freaked out. They left it up to me. They said, "You know, we could try to fix this, but you're," as they showed me, I'm looking over at the camera at my own heart, and these arteries are shriveled up, twisted. They look like roots on a tree. And I'm going, "Wow, that doesn't look good." And they said, "It's not good. And if we try to fix them, who knows? It may last a week. It may last a year. You're going to definitely be back in here to see us." I said, "Nah, I don't want that." So sent me downtown to the other sister hospital, St. Luke's downtown. And that's when I started getting ready for surgery. And I tell you what, the doctor I had down there, Dr. Davis, saved my life. And he was a cool guy, just a cool guy. And I can't say good enough things about the cardio group down there. They treated me right, and I loved them dearly. And, you know, what can I say? Even though I was in there 3 weeks going out of my damn mind, I lived, and that's the most important thing. You know, I'm still here, I'm breathing, and I'm talking to you guys, and I'm having a good time.
Yeah, that's...
it's amazing. Now,
blew my mind.
Well,
did you thank God afterwards, after the surgery, Todd?
Dude, I thanked everything from God to Osiris. I mean, I was so happy to be alive. I was thinking Obi-Wan Kenobi. I mean, I was thinking everything, and, you know, my mom's a Baptist school teacher. And my dad's Catholic, so it's, my upbringing was pretty crazy. So I believe that there's some kind of a spiritual force in the universe. I've never known what that exactly is. I've always been kind of angry with the Christian community here locally, being raised in the Bible Belt and having them be so close-minded. But, you know, something saved me. I don't know what the hell it was, but something saved me. And I was real happy about that.
Well, you thanked the doctor, right?
I sure as hell did.
That's what I think it's just funny that you sometimes, or a lot of times, you hear people who have these near death experiences, and instead of thanking the doctor, they thank God. Like, at least thank the doctor first, you know.
Well, and I can understand why. I mean, you know, honestly, this thing changes you. It has changed me. I'm still going through a lot of changes, and I can understand why people would suddenly become religious after this, because you don't understand. I mean, you're especially with what I went through, and the fact that I just don't understand how I got there. You know, your brain is trying in all of its capacity to put these pieces together, and sometimes it's easier to turn to something and just say, you know what, I don't know, but I'm thanking God or whatever you believe in, Buddha or whatever. And I have no disrespect, because let's face it, we don't know what the hell's out there. I don't. For all I know, everything that we've been told about, all of it is true. We've got Krishna out there. We got Buddha out there. We got God out there. We don't know, because we've never been there. And after what I saw and experienced, I feel like I almost died, and I saw some really weird things that I'm not even supposed to remember, but I remember them vividly. And, you know, a lot of the stuff that goes through your head, you really can't, I mean... Atheists be damned, because there's something going on in the universe, and there's a power out there that we don't understand, and I don't think we'll ever understand it for a long time. I think maybe, you know, centuries down the road, we might understand this as human beings, but, you know, I come from Night Watch, and I come from a whole background where we talk about the paranormal and the supernatural and the bizarre and the things in the universe we can't explain. I've been in a lighthouse, an actual lighthouse in Florida with taps. And I'm standing there at 2 o'clock in the morning, and there's 8 adults in there, and there's kids laughing, and I don't know what the hell to say about it, because I was there. I stood next to a door. This doorknob turned, clicked, and flew open. And I've seen shadow people, and I've seen things I can't describe. So there's something going on in the universe, because I've experienced it firsthand, and we don't really know. So when it comes to people saying, oh, you know, is it God, is it this or that, I don't have the answers. All I can say is there's something going on out there that's above us. Because it just has to be that way. There's something else. And I have to believe that, only because I'm like, look, if this is it, just us and, you know, this earth, then that's kind of sad. And it's almost like egotistical, too, as a human being, to go, well, we're it. really? Well, so no other life could have happened anywhere in the vastness of the universes that are out there? So I kind of go, look, if we got here, someone else got there. And that's how I look at it. So there's got to be some explanation for the things that go on in the universe. And I think between all of us, we'll never figure it out for a long, long time. But we can keep hoping that, you know, inside of us, that there is something other than, you know, the evening news.
Okay.
Wow. I caught silence on the Movies Hate You show.
Nobody went through what you went through, Todd. Anything that you say, anything that I say just sounds trite. But, I mean, in all seriousness, and even though you and I have never met in the flesh, you know, we've gotten to know each other over the air and through voices and whatnot. And I'm really happy that you're still alive.
Oh yeah, man, we're brothers. You know that, and I respect everybody's opinion about everything. But I tell you, it's really true. I really did hear those kids laughing, and that freaked me out really bad.
Yeah.
How could you explain?
No, you know, I'm Mr. Rational Science Person, but I can tell you ghost stories that I witnessed some things that I don't know, and they're spooky, and you know, I don't profess to understand what it was, but there was in my hometown, just outside the city limits of my hometown, there was this cemetery. And when we were teenagers, we discovered it was a great place to go drink beer and goof around and take girls and make them scared and stuff. But it also had this really weird energy to it. And every one of my friends that I took there felt something really weird. And we heard sounds, and we took a camera out there, and we got some weird photos and stuff. And, you know, it doesn't make me believe in God or in supernatural stuff, but I can honestly say I don't understand what it was. It was spooky as hell. So I'm with you. I don't think that you're lying. I mean, I totally believe you.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird.
Yeah.
Well, I think the other thing is, you know, a lot of times, you know, I think atheism could be its own religion too.
It is, yeah.
It has its own hierarchy and its own rules and its own, which goes against the whole idea of believing in nothing. Then why do I have to go to a meeting? You know, it's like it sounds like church, but you know, and guess what? Science is not absolute. I mean, we believe in science because it's based on hard evidence, but then there's a lot of theoretical science that's based on nothing but speculation, the same way you're speculating that God is out there watching you, you know? So I can understand both sides of that, but I don't think that's really what this discussion's about, you know? I think it's about, you know, whatever. Dude, you want to believe in anything you want to believe in, as long as you're here, believe in it, man. I support you. You can go home and pray to anything or anyone or any object all night and have fun. And you're welcome to it. You want to go out in your front yard and do it? Go ahead. Just don't make me do it.
That's right.
For me, that's what it comes down to.
You know, I agree with that.
You can be an asshole no matter what you believe in. So there definitely are people who are very dogmatic about it and come off as jerks. But
I think what happens is that, you know, there are two things that work here. Now, if I want to come home and burn some incense and look at a candle and there's a little fat man figure or something, which I don't do, but if I wanted to, it's not hurting anybody or anything. But what happens is, I think people who are religious or spiritual in that way, they take the blame for the actions of their church or their religion over the years. So, in other words, oh, you're a Christian? Well, look at all the people you killed over the years. You know, you should be eliminated.
Dirty dog!
But I also have to say that Christians and other, you know, religions like Islamic religion, these people don't make a good case for keeping religion around, because they use it as a source of power and really enslave people into a mental state of building, into a mental state kind of protected by violence. I mean, you read about what happens in Muslim countries to women and to sinners and to thieves and to whatever. People walking down the street minding their own business. People are just blowing each other up over sex of religion. That is stupid.
Dumb.
And And anyone who thinks differently is stupid. And anyone who thinks those people would not bring that down on you is stupid.
You're dreaming.
It's dreaming. Evil. I think it's stupid.
It's evil. That's the real evil. That's the real evil. Telling women they got to get. And over here, too, we've got the Sharia law here with some of these hardline Christians. And not all Christians, of course, but we got these, you know. Well, these are people in government. Mm-hmm. Keeping women down. I know you know all this stuff. You read the news. This is not a news program. I'm not trying to turn you on to this story. If you haven't seen it, then your head's in a hole. But Todd, you are a success story.
Thank goodness.
I want 40 more years of output from you. At least. I want you to add 10 shows to the station.
I think so.
I want you to do 40 more movies.
I would like to. And
you sound good. You sound better than me. I haven't been in a hospital in 2 years.
I don't know if I feel better, but I'm trying.
No, you're getting there, man.
Every day is a growth experience.
And may I ask, from our Jackalope family, all of our listeners, I know the hosts, other hosts have been incredible. I've seen what they've done. I've been on the air with some of them doing a PBS-style fundraiser for the station and for your medical bills. So I know the are the fans there though, or have the Jackalope listeners come out of hiding and give them back?
I had 29 almost 30,000 messages in my inbox.
Amazing.
In 3 weeks time. I mean the Night Watch fans stepped up, and I call them friends because who am I? I don't need any. I don't deserve fans. I just deserve friends.
Get out of here! Stop with that modest crap.
I'm a turd. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm enjoying myself.
Yeah. Come on now.
But the truth is, man, I tell you what, the people. You know, they say when you go through something like this, you find out who your friends are. And I was overwhelmed, and it kind of felt good because I always feel like I'm trying real hard to do good for people, and I don't know if it's doing anything. And it really felt good to kind of see that it is. It's kind of doing something, and people stepped up, and I had people from back in grade school. I had Warner Brothers. I had freaking New Line Cinema people, like the head honchos, contacted me, telling me, "You can't go anywhere, man. We got things to do." You know, it was kind of interesting to see, because you know, you make these business relationships, and you're like, "Yeah, they don't care," but they kind of do, because I make a difference in the way that I deal, and I think Rob, you guys can attest to this. I met you in a business capacity, but we quickly became friends. I really do believe in running this thing like a family, and I feel that in my heart. And I think it's kind of surprising to me how it really worked.
Is there a cool side to it too, Todd? Because it's like everybody wants to witness their own funeral, right? I mean, not to get morbid, but everybody, you know, you kind of would want to know, like, well, who showed up? What were they wearing? Who didn't show up? You know, did you get a glimpse of that? I mean, was that the kind of thing that, did that even go through your head? It was like, oh, wow, now, like you said, now I know who my real friends are or whatever.
Well, that kind of didn't go through my head because I was too busy making sure I didn't go that far. I was like,
right.
I don't want to end up there.
But maybe in retrospect, I see what you're saying. It's a little morbid, Mr. Ree, I have to say. But hey, listen, Todd's been dealing in the macabre for all his life, you know. So I understand you asking that. So what you're saying is you can kind of back up. Like my question is, like you say, well, you really find out who your friends are. I want to know who are the ones that really weren't your friends. Like who turned out to be a real jerk, you know? How many of those were there? You know, it's almost like a little water cooler talk. But anyway, I don't want to know. That's silly. But I can see what you're saying. Maybe he's too close to it, Mr. Ree. Like, give him a little time. He can say, wow, sure. You know what? If anything did really happen to me and I didn't meet the Reaper, look at all these people.
Dude, I looked that sucker dead in the eye and I said, go on down the road, fool. I don't even want to talk to you today.
And the hand of Jesus came down. The hand of Jesus.
The hand of the Lord came screaming down, and he said upon me, I'm not going to listen to this anymore. You're going to go home. Get back, Satan. Get back, Satan.
I think that's what I had asked you. I think you popped in on the one marathon we were doing on Pete's on Pete's time over there. I think you're not going to become a religious guy now. You're not going to have a religious show.
No.
Find the good Lord in
right,
other people.
How about this? To wrap up the show, I have a little surprise here. What's here? Let's check this out, okay? To wrap up the show, I have a little surprise here. I'm going to do this here.
Is it my third grade teacher?
No.
He's going to do a song and dance.
No, none of that.
Going to handle snakes?
I might be able to do the snake thing one day, but I don't like snakes very much because they eat my friends who are mice. So I don't dig those guys, but we are going to do this one. Let's try this out and see if it works. Okay. Hang in there, everybody. Hang in there.
We're sorry. You have reached a number that has been disconnected or is no longer in service.
Oh, you
if you feel
dog
you have reached this
okay
recording in error,
that,
please
the
check the number.
Surprise better
try
pay your their phone bill.
I know. Let's try again. I got another. I got a second number on here. We're going to try it. Oh, don't you love it when your surprise turns out to be a bunch of schmoes who can't pay a phone bill?
Hey, it wouldn't be a surprise otherwise, right? You're the one who got the surprise on that one.
I did. I got a surprise out of it. But here we go. We're going to try this one.
Better not be calling one of my ex-girlfriends.
No. We're calling this other number. It's about 10 o'clock Central Time.
All right.
Solid Rock Baptist Church.
Hello, sir. I have to ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
I keep getting these things in the mail. These little, they're like little comic book things, these track deals.
Right.
How the heck do I keep getting those, and what do I do to make them stop? And why? I just have to ask.
Yes. Because it's not our purpose to send anybody more than one.
Yeah, I keep getting these things, and even the Walmart here by my house, they've got them stuffed in between the movies. It's really weird, and I don't know what's going on, because they all have your little Solid Rock Baptist Church stamp on the back of them.
In between the movies?
Yeah, they stick them in between the DVDs over here off of Berry Road, right here at this Walmart. Over here by the movie theater.
Yeah, I know where the...
Yeah,
I didn't know. I don't know anything about the DVDs.
Yeah,
but
and I'm getting them mailed to my house too, and I don't understand.
Yeah, we don't. Our purpose is to the way we send them out. We send them out randomly, and I don't know how you're getting more than one because that's not our purpose.
I'm getting all kinds of them. I got one that's telling me this was your life. I got another one that's showing me some crazy pictures about the devil. I'm freaking out. I'm going, why do I keep getting these? I've had like six of them. So, yeah.
Wow.
I'd really like maybe you could talk to people and say, hey, dudes, watch what you're doing here because, I appreciate that, everyone's trying to save everybody, and I just got done having quadruple bypass surgery. I just went through hell and the devil myself and came out the other side. So I understand what people are talking about. But my thing is, putting them between the movies and sending them to people a whole bunch, that's just kind of like, wow, that's kind of slapping people in the face.
That's not, well, we apologize for that because that's not what we're trying to do. We're not, we're trying to send each person one or to one home. And if you've gotten more than one mailed to your house, then somebody's overlapping each other or something.
Okay.
And we'll try to make sure that that doesn't happen anymore.
I appreciate
yes, sir. Have a good day.
You too. And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen.
Who is that? Sean Griffin? Who was that?
Solid Rock Baptist Church right there.
Solid Rock, man. Is that like they play rock music?
I don't think they would, no.
That guy, you sound like you bothered that guy while he was eating dinner.
I think I did.
I have to say, he had a full fork of food in his mouth during that conversation. I have to say, and I ain't some Yankee talking. Ah, come on now. He's a man of the cloth.
I think he cut in with a hooker.
I was wondering if we should cut in. I was going to cut in as the phone company, I was going to do something, man. I don't know, geez, I've got a problem on the line here. Hello, did you get that? He said, he said cartoon, yeah.
You should have broke in and said, we have a person-to-person call from Satan.
Bill's on the phone?
I was in Walmart the other day buying a copy of Brokeback Mountain, and one of your tracks was stuck inside it. What's up with that?
Sir, sir, it's the weirdest
thing.
Totally
ruined the mood.
Sir, it's the weirdest thing. I was in the gay porn section, and I found all these Jesus things. Is it safe for me to come to your church this Sunday? No, sir, it's not. No, sir, it's not. No, sir, don't come to our church on Sunday. No, sir.
Will he be at your church this Sunday? He's a very handsome man.
So let me ask you, Todd. Did the listeners come through? We were trying to get donations. Now, I had heard on the grapevine, the jackalope grapevine, that you don't have health insurance. Is this true?
This is true.
And you gave it up?
I did. I just sold off my life insurance 2 weeks before this happened, and I had stopped my insurance because...
Why?
Because of the station. I honestly can't afford it. I mean, the station's running about $900 a month, and it's just really hard with everything else.
But your life is more important than the station, I have to say. I know it's your heart and soul, and it runs in your blood, and you're crazy workaholic like I am. I understand. I totally get it, dude. You gotta take care of number one.
Yeah, but I thought I was perfect.
We're all perfect in God's eyes. But no, seriously, damn, man, they're going to hit you with a bill. They're going to hit you with a bill, and they're going to hunt you down. And they're gonna hunt all of us down at Jackalope.
Yeah.
Now, I got on the air a couple times during this whole thing and told the listeners to just give a dollar to your PayPal account. To give 50 cents, to give $3. And then I'm getting reports that nothing came in, that the listeners didn't step up to the plate.
It's been trickling, but real slow. I mean, there's not a whole lot coming through. And
I understand that we're in a depression.
That's it, man. It's an economy of nightmares.
I understand, but I said a dollar. I said a dollar. $1. Don't get that Kit Kat. Give a Mr. Ree, give him money. Give him money. I'm serious. I don't care if you don't make any money. I don't care if you're poor. You find it. Steal it. Steal the money. Hit somebody over the head. Eat their face and take their money and give it to Todd. It just bothers me, man. It bothers me. I said to Pete, I said, I don't even want to do this anymore. The listeners didn't come out for Todd. You're offering something that they can't get anywhere else, and they don't understand how media and everything they watch on television and everything they listen to on the radio, even most of this crap they see on the internet, is controlled by some giant Mitt Romney-type dude picking and choosing what you get to see.
I know.
And as somebody who puts out independent films, I know the game of getting into stores nationwide and the concessions you have to make and the money you have to pay stores to put your DVDs in the stores. Yes, you have to pay. You have to pay Best Buy. You have to pay them back. Oh, you want to be in this chain of video stores? Oh, you have to take out a $2,000 ad in their monthly magazine that nobody reads. It's a scam. Everything's a scam. This is a guy, you cannot get this stuff anywhere else on Jackalope. And you're letting it die on the vine.
Well, you know I appreciate it, man. You know I do.
No, man. No, I know you're too proud to get out there and say it. And this is what I said Ken Kish said that I sounded like, you know, PBS begging for money. I don't care. I'll do it for you, man. Nobody likes begging for money. I'll do it for you. You tell me any day. I'll go on night watch and do it. I'm not saying, hey, we need $50 a month for the rest of your life. Give us your credit card. Just send a couple dollars to PayPal. $2 will buy this guy a cup of low-fat milk so that he keeps his heart in shape. I mean, he gave it all up. Gave up his insurance for the station. That's dedication. And not to do some BS, hey, you know, we're going to copy what, you know, everybody else in radio is doing, and we're going to do a conservative, all-conservatives station here. We're going to have guys talking about the conspiracy, the black helicopters, and blah, blah, blah. It's not all that. He takes chances on people off the street. And he'll take a chance on you if you walked up to him and had a show idea. And you don't get that, man. I worked at other stations. I did shows at other stations. It's all even nonprofit stations are it's a little club of hipsters and jerks who create every barrier they can so that you don't get the status that they have. But I walked in off the street. There is nothing else like this. That's the point. This isn't critically sanctioned, you know, PBS where they want a couple dollars from you. So, hey, prove it wrong. What? Only the yuppies get to have what they want? Only the hipsters get what they want? Only the corporations get what they want? You're just an everyman. You're a blue-collar guy just doing this thing, man. And that doesn't get any support? That makes me sick to my stomach, dude. You know, it's like, I know it's not their problem, what you had to do to keep the station going, but you are providing a service to them, a daily service that they can use to step out of their headspace and get into another realm and get some other ideas and get different shows. It's not, you're not getting the same show over and over again. And we ask you, oh, support our sponsors, but forget the sponsors. Don't even support our sponsors. Support Todd Sheets and what he's doing so that someone out there can see what he's doing and say, I want you to bring this to this venue that I have that will get you out to X amount of people, et cetera, et cetera. Because then you come with us and it gets out to more people and we can give you more of what you want to hear. But if you don't connect with us, you don't send us an email and say we hate you, we like you, you don't send a buck when the man's on his deathbed, call it cheesy if you want. You know, other stations, and I listen to a lot of radio, other stations have these fund drives for 2 weeks. You get like 2 seconds of the stuff you want to hear, and then you get 20 minutes of a guy like this talking. All the great things you're going to see here, and oh, blah, blah, blah. Screw that. Screw all that. This is about a man's life and his livelihood, and he's dedicated his whole life to entertaining people and fans, horror fans, cult movie fans, exploitation fans, paranormal fans. It's time to give a little bit back. And he's too proud to ask you for it, but he needs it. Tough shit. If you can go give money to India when they get a flood, or Haiti when they get an earthquake, you can give money to this guy. Because you know what? We live in a culture that takes for granted other people's creative output. And that's okay. I understand it. But you pay $100 a month and you go on TV, you got 300 channels programmed, but you don't give a crap where that dollar, what? So, you know, one station gets a certain amount of money, blah, blah, blah. You don't care where the money goes. That $100 pays all those 200 channels. So 20 million people subscribe for $100 a month. And then the movie that's on there gets a little bit of money, gets a couple $1,000 or whatever, the studio or whatever. And there's somebody, some corporation controlling that. And they're not going to put a Todd Sheets movie on there, right? Todd Sheets is not going to walk to the cable company and they're going to put his movie on. It doesn't work that way. The world doesn't work that way. But you're going to walk up to Todd Sheets on the street and tell him about a cool show idea. You're going to be on the air the next week. And that is how talent is found. But that's how you find the winners. You don't find the winners by, you know, having it filtered through 30 or 40 different people who wear suits with salt and pepper hair. It doesn't work that way. And that's what this man provides to the world. And that's why I say screw this show, screw every individual show, because as a group, it's a group of people that came together who are not professional radio people who came on to talk about the news and blah, blah, blah. It is just a true freeform, non-corporate radio station. And that needs your support more than ever now in this day and age, because you are taken for granted. You can go and download a movie that's in a theater right now. Oh, I want to see The Avengers. I go get it for free on the Pirate Bay or some other site and watch it. Okay, fine. Robert Downey Jr. doesn't need your money, but the guy who worked the catering does. You see what I mean? Put it in perspective. You're killing me. All of you, you're killing me. And my hope in and my respect for in true independent stuff, true do-it-yourself, true outsider, underground stuff, we're having the communities helping each other and superseding that whole system. How did punk rock happen? It didn't happen because, you know, Warner Brothers went in there and said punk rock's going to happen. It happened on the fringes. And that's where change happens, like in science. Change begins at the fringes of anything and works its way to the center. And that is Jackalope. Is at the fringe of the radio experience. Help it get to the center.
showing.
Do you agree that people should try to help Todd out, and that they don't really? What I'm trying to do is break the wall down. I'm dead serious, man. I'm trying to break the wall down because I can go on my computer and I go to sites and to people's pages, and I enjoy stuff for free. You know, I pay my cable company to have internet, but I enjoy all that stuff for free. What I'm trying to do is break down the wall and say there's a human being on the other end of this who has sacrificed almost everything in his life to do this station. Now, that's on him, and that was his choice, granted. But he's built something, and he's built a community of people that are all over the place. It's this giant tree of people, and it's gathered other people. The email gestures are nice. 29,000. That's awesome, dude. People love you, dude. People genuinely, easily love you as a person, and you're very easy to be a friend with. Immediately when you meet you, you're one of the super nicest guys in the world, no doubt. But I don't think they understand the seriousness of what you went through and what's at stake if one day Jackalope goes down. As true as anything has ever been true, my friend.
You're still out of time by, like, now, like, 17 minutes.
Out of time and out of touch.
Way out.
We can let this run long, can't we?
It'll be long.
In the archives, it'll be long.
Yep.
If Brute Force hears this plea, they will understand.
You're throwing stuff. Crash.
Throwing stuff. I'm mad. Mad as hell. Call another church.
Wasn't that great? Someone even answered. That was awesome.
That's awesome. I'm telling you, a dude was sitting there eating dinner watching TV. I don't know. Fucking Roseanne's on here.
He messed him all up.
He messed up his night. He's on the phone right now trying to get to the bottom of it.
Probably is.
Well, he's so polished with his answers, though. I mean, that was just...
Yeah, let me tell you, that dude's heard that before. Don't let him fool you. That dude's had that phone call before. Like, hey, why are you sending 20... chick tracks to my house every day, fool. Well, that's not our intention. Well, yeah, well, it's not your. Yeah, it's like I didn't intend to kill him. I just meant to shoot him. You know, it's like, you know, it wasn't my intention, but I did lick those envelopes. I have to say,
it wasn't my intention to get caught. Exactly.
It wasn't my intention to piss you off about the whole thing. Please accept Jesus's apologies for that. I hope he listens to this, and I hope he donates money. He's probably got money rolling in that Solid Rock Church. And what is he doing? It's been the marathon hour of the Movies Hate You show. Mr. Ree, Lee Peterson, any last thoughts before I let you go? Because I've been talking like, I don't know what. Too much. Any good movies to see?
Movies? Oh, I don't think we need to paint this show with movie talk, do we?
Nah.
We have far more important fish to fry.
Yeah, we do. Like that Todd Sheets fish. We're going to fry him up.
There you go.
I just want to say, in all seriousness, I am so happy to know Todd, and I'm so happy that you're with us, Todd. And, life is tenuous. I mean, it everything you say about it sounds trite, but it really is tenuous. It's here today and gone tomorrow, and you know, I have kids, and I hug them and I kiss them and tell them I love them every chance I get, 100 times a day. And if I have any advice for people, I would say do that. And Warren Zevon said it best when he said, he was diagnosed with terminal cancer. He knew he was dying. He knew he was dying in a couple of months. And he said, enjoy every sandwich. And I think that's like probably the most profound thing I've ever heard in my life.
I agree.
In simplicity. So enjoy every sandwich.
I know Todd's enjoyed every sandwich in his life, and he's going to enjoy it even more now. Well, thank you, Todd, for coming out and producing this show again. You didn't have to, but you did. Thank you. That's appreciated, man.
Hell yeah, man. Gotta do it.
But Mr. Ree says, you know, if you need to cut down your schedule, man, take it easy. Make sure to cut Pete's show before you cut this one, okay?
You got it.
Please.
He'll bounce back. He's talented. Yeah. He'll bounce back.
VHSP always bounces back. He'll start his own damn station.
Yeah.
He'll buy a station, that son of a bitch. I'm not sorry, damn it. Jedi Mind Freak at... Wait, what's the email address?
Jedi Superstar.
Jedi Superstar at KC. And wow. I said this before. Get a damn email that people can write down quickly.
Hey, Jedi Superstar at KC.RR.com. There.
Send a dollar. Send a million. Send a penny. Send something. Keep Jackalope alive. Todd, thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Mr. Reed. Lee Peterson, thank you, sir.
My pleasure.
We'll see you next week. Movies Hate You. May or may not be sponsored by bmovie.com. We'll let you know soon. We're in big trouble with them, and it's all Mr. Reed's fault. See you.
land of the rising sun. I searched to find you.